It's Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Teich. We're focusing on barriers to achievement at MPS this week on our Project Milwaukee series. Before the break, we heard about efforts to improve teacher education at one of the leading education schools in the state, UW-Milwaukee. Non-traditional pathways to teaching, such as Teach for America, are often seen as the nemeses of traditional schools of education, so it was a little surprising to many in the field when Marquette University's education school, along with Cardinal Stritch University, helped clear the way for Teach for America to come to Milwaukee. In fact, Teach for America founder Wendy Kopp, who we'll hear from later, spoke at Marquette's spring commencement ceremony. But Bill Hank believes that the traditional model has something to learn from the popularity of alternative certification routes. Hank is the dean of the Marquette University College of Education and professor of literacy there. Prior to coming to Milwaukee, he taught in education schools at public universities in Illinois and Pennsylvania. He joins us now to talk about curriculum development, alternative certification, and literacy education. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Mitch.
Do education schools, and you have experience in both the public and private setting, do they seek out blank slates and mold them into teachers, or do they seek out future teachers and mold them into a particular kind of teacher?
It really depends on the education program. I've been in different places that have thought it doesn't matter so much what a candidate brings. We're such a good program that we're going to mold them into being the master teacher. Other places set the bar high, I think, for admissions. And I would say that Marquette is one of those institutions. We like to think that we start with students who are the likelihood of their success is going to be really high, and then we expose them to the best quality program we can and hopefully turn them into consummate educators.
Well, and speaking on behalf of Marquette here, what makes the right candidate for a teaching student or an education student in this day and age?
I've always believed, and will believe this to my dying day, that it's really a profession for people who love children and adolescents, because that love drives you in a way where you seek to be the absolute best teacher that you possibly can be. But, you know, across the country, there's lots of teacher education programs. And so, on balance, lots of teachers are created every single year. The question is, how good are they? Teacher education is under assault all over the United States, but not so much at the really high-quality programs. So I'm of the mind now that you not only have to bring the love for children, but you need to be bright, you need to be articulate, really, really sharp mentally in order to truly orchestrate a classroom.
Well, and so can you talk about what goes into developing curriculum in schools of education? One of the criticisms that's been leveled in some cases is that there's too much emphasis on theory and not enough on simply developing sharp teachers, as you just described them.
Mm-hmm. There's always a challenge in any curriculum to try to affect some kind of a balance between theory and research and practice. And the ideal mix is when students understand not only what to do, but why you do it. It's really important to ground a student's development as a teacher in that way so that they're not just simply people who are going, okay, step one is this, step two is this, step three is this, but now I've done step three and the child's not really getting this. So what alternatives do I have in order to make learning occur? There are some courses that are just expected in every single teacher education program in the country. And
What are those kinds of courses?
Courses like developmental psychology are going to be important. Understanding what children can and cannot do at certain developmental milestones. That's kind of a standard one. And there's curriculum kinds of classes, philosophy of education classes, that type of thing. It's what each teacher education program does idiosyncratically to set itself apart. So I would say at Marquette, we really pride ourselves in a couple of things. And one is sensitivities we try to develop, particularly around urban education, where they have a sense of the inequities that exist there. And not that you need to ever use those as an excuse for the children or for yourself, but just to be cognizant of those challenges so that you can adapt or accommodate to them in ways that give kids who do not start off on an even playing field the opportunity to have a successful academic experience.
Is that especially important when you are an education school and you're located in a place like Milwaukee?
Yeah, I would say that would be vital. And, Milwaukee is really blessed with several good teacher education institutions. But we feel a special calling for urban education because we are situated right in the city.
Is there a responsibility that schools of education have to direct their students to districts that are struggling like MPS or other urban school districts? I mean, you obviously can't control where a graduate applies for jobs, but where does providing the workforce or the next generation of workforce in a place like MPS come in when you are an education school in a place like Milwaukee?
I think it would be absolutely impossible to go through our programs and not get the sense that urban school districts need teachers. And many of our students do go on, in fact, and work in MPS. Others work in suburban districts. The reality is they work where there are jobs. And in my experience, there are some dynamite suburban teachers who would fail miserably in an urban environment. And the reverse is true as well, but maybe for a different reason. Not so much that the urban teacher would fail, but they might not be as happy in those environments because the truly great urban teachers are there for that factor I mentioned earlier, the love of the children and feeling needed and really being present for the kids. So it would be more of an affective response that would be less than satisfying if the tables were turned.
But it must be a challenge to go to your graduating students and say the barriers to success are going to be greater, but you're really needed in this place.
I don't know what the pay scale situation
sure.
is, but in some urban districts, you can actually make significantly more money than you could working in some suburban districts. It's more what you feel comfortable doing. I think when we have been most successful is when we take someone who comes from a privileged background and after they hear about these challenges that they say, this is for me. This is exactly what I'm supposed to do.
Your own area of specialty is literacy and reading, and this is an especially timely point to talk about it in light of the recent study that showed pretty dismal results for MPS 4th and 8th graders. We think of literacy skills as primarily an early childhood education issue, but how are those kinds of results affecting curriculum across the spectrum of teacher education?
Let's start with literacy. If you were a school principal and you were making a hire, there's two things that you would want an elementary teacher to be able to do. And the first one would be to teach reading, and the second one would be to teach math. And if you could only pick one, I'm thinking they're going for reading. And the reason is that reading often is the vehicle by which people can even start to understand math concepts. So to the extent that you don't have a really solid literacy foundation, that's a price that child pays day in, day out, for the next 12 years. So one of the courses that exists in every education program is called content area reading. And the philosophy there is every teacher is a teacher of reading. If you're a chemistry teacher or you're a lit teacher, social studies, it doesn't matter. If children are going to struggle with the reading material, then it just makes the prospect of them being successful around that content to be really minimal. That's why oftentimes in those classrooms where the reading levels within the class are seriously depressed that the instructors rely so heavily on oral instruction because they realize that the kids aren't going to get it through the reading piece. But done properly, there's a whole set of materials and techniques that you can use if you're aware of them that can help you bolster what you do in your content area. But it's grounded in literacy practices that are shown to be effective.
How are alternative certification programs, the ones that are now gaining in popularity around the country, how are they changing the way that traditional schools of education are going about doing their job?
You know, for the longest time as a more traditional type of teacher educator, you know, I'd sit back and I'd look at the alternative certification programs and regard them as enterprises gone horribly awry. And I really don't look at it quite that way anymore. I still have a firm belief in the importance of a solid traditional teacher education program. However, to my earlier point about trying to recruit the best people we possibly can to the profession, it turns out that there's lots of people who get baccalaureate degrees and they go out and they might think that they wanted to be in business or to be an engineer or some other kind of profession. And they don't find it to be satisfying. Now, I don't want them to think about, hey, I can always teach. You know, that's a fallback career. But if they're bright and they think, you know, I've always liked working with kids and teaching people things. I'd like to explore this. Well, there's a place for them. And so there's post-baccalaureate kinds of programs that they can come to at universities, or, you know, there's sort of separate entities that have arisen to allow that to occur. You know, if they end up being good teachers, really strong special teachers, then I don't have any objections to alternative certification programs. We tested that pretty hard this past year because Marquette and Cardinal Stritch helped usher in Teach for America within this community. You know, for the longest time, I was really resistant to that whole enterprise and had misgivings about, you know, what seemed to me to be sort of brief, however intense training it might be, and then and turning kids loose in the tough urban classrooms in order to try to succeed or flourish or even just fend for themselves. But the genius of Teach for America, in my mind, is the way they recruit people to it. And so they've made Marquette a prime target for recruitment for several years before we ever got involved in it, because the profile of our student, which is typically pretty smart, well-intentioned, with a social justice perspective, it was just right on the mark for them. So we've actually found the transition, although it has come with its share of challenges, to be a good thing.
Well, Bill Henk, thanks so much for spending some time with us and sharing your perspective.
Well, it's absolutely been my pleasure, and thank you for the invitation.
Bill Henk is the Dean of the College of Education at Marquette University and a professor of literacy there. Keep listening next on the program, A Point Counterpoint on Teach for America. Founder Wendy Kopp argues the program takes bright college grads and puts them in classrooms where teachers are needed the most. But Milwaukee writer Barbara Miner questions whether this is really a good thing. That's ahead on Lake Effect from WUWM.